an imagination he has, they said. Or even, poor fellow, he's gone mad. And as for Moshe, he wept.
Jews, listen to me. It's all I ask of you. I don't want money or pity. Only listen to me.
He would cry between prayers at dusk and the evening prayers. I did not believe him myself. I would often sit with him in the evening after the service, listening to his stories and trying my hardest to understand his grief. I felt only pity for him.
They take me for a madman,
he would whisper, and tears, like drops of wax, flowed from his eyes. Once I asked him this question. Why are you so anxious that people should believe what you say? In your place, I shouldn't care whether they believed me or not. He closed his eyes as though to escape time.
You don't understand, he said in despair. You can't understand. I have been saved miraculously. I managed to get back here. Where did I get the strength from? I wanted to come back to Siget to tell you the story of my death so that you could prepare yourselves while there was still time. To live? I don't attach any importance to my life anymore. I'm alone. No, I wanted to come back and to warn you and see how it is no one will listen to me.
That was toward the end of 1942. Afterward, life returned to normal. The London radio, which we listened to every evening, gave us heartening news. The daily bombardment of Germany, Stalingrad, preparation for the Second Front. And we, the Jews of Siget, were waiting for better days, which would not be long in coming now. I continued to devote myself to my studies. By day, the Talmud, at night, the Kabbalah. My father was occupied with his business and the doings of the community. My grandfather had come to celebrate the New Year with us so that he could attend the services of the famous Rabbi of Borsha. My mother began to think that it was high time to find a suitable young man for Hilda.